For you, its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Earlier today at the White House, President Trump spoke regarding the six-month anniversary of the tax cut plan and the Jobs Act that the White House passed. The president's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, spoke to Fox Business about how these tax cuts are helping small businesses.
We were not competitive. Our larger corporations, our middle-sized companies, and I want to also add the smaller businesses had huge benefits from this overall tax bill, including not only a drop in corporate rates, but also the 100% immediate expensing of new plant and equipment, which, follow me on this, is stimulating capital goods and investment spending.
Today, President Trump is meeting with Republicans to discuss the next Supreme Court nominee. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee describes the sort of person he wants to see on the Supreme Court.
I want to see it to the Constitution. I'm so frustrated when people say we want a conservative justice, we want a liberal justice. No, what we want is a non-ideological justice.
This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Earlier today, President Trump gave remarks celebrating the six-month anniversary of the tax cut bill that he signed.
In terms of value or worth, we've created $7 trillion worth of value for our country. And people don't know this. We're double the size, almost double the size, because we hear China, and China's terrific. And our relationship is terrific. We're straightening out the balance, and I think most people want to see that.
It's not your imagination. An expert says your nose does look bigger in selfies. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes sniffed out all the details for us.
A reconstructive facial surgeon at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School named Dr. Boris Pashkover says it's not your imagination. Selfies do make your nose look bigger. So do any close photographs taken with a smartphone. And he says it's the smartphone that's to blame. They typically make the base of the nose look 30% wider and the tip of the nose look 7% wider when the photos are taken at close range. And selfies are typically taken from 12 inches away. He says it's not like he doesn't like their business, but he says when patients come in demanding nose jobs purely because they don't like how they look in their selfies, he proves it to them by taking a portrait at about a distance of 4 to 5 feet away. But still, he says, most of those patients still insist on nasal surgery, saying it's important for them to look good in their selfies.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Excuse me, I'll play this spot now. I couldn't help but laughing about big noses on the news. If you missed that one, you really missed something. So in any event, we'll be back. Let me just tell you who brought you the news, and we'll be back in a minute, I believe.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer...
I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on the Chamber.
Well, that's interesting. None of the spots seem to be coming up. I don't know if you can hear me, but we'll just proceed, and not sure what the problem is. But in any event, if you don't hear anything from our sponsors today, the reason is it doesn't seem to be, at least I can't hear them playing. Nope, still the same problem. Okay, well, I'm Pat Smits. It's Friday, 4 o'clock, a couple minutes after 4, and let's talk about the weather. This afternoon, if you haven't been out there, or today, sunny, set about 91 degrees. I can't believe it's not higher, but, you know, that's what the weather is saying for the forecast in this area. Low tonight, only about 67 degrees, should be mostly clear. Tomorrow, warmer. The prediction on my weather is 94 degrees, sunny all day, and some people have predicted even higher than tomorrow. But Sunday, they're predicting a high of about 97 degrees, could be even more than that. Monday, again, hot weather, 96 degrees should be the high. So we're expecting some very hot weather the next few days. I don't know if that makes up for the rain. We certainly had a ton of rain the other night. I mean, this was, I don't know if it woke you up, but if it didn't, it was surprising. So let's go talk about the law. And as I said, I'm still trying to see why I can't play any of the spots. But if I can't, I can't. So as I said, this afternoon, high near 91, mostly clear tonight, sunny tomorrow with a high of near 94. It should be a calm wind, certainly possibly 5 to 7 miles per hour in the afternoon. Sunday, sunny and hot. Monday, sunny and high near 96. Tuesday, again, mostly sunny with a high of about 94 degrees. And so if it's the predictions are correct, better have your air conditionings in order. I say that as someone who doesn't have air conditioning right now in my truck. But what is happening in the news? The legal news, that is. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening. Not a lot goes on in the summer with respect to reported cases. However, trial courts are extremely busy because the fiscal year ends on June 30th, so they're trying to get everything done. Today will be the last court day before June 30th and into July. Then they start a new year. And of course, if you haven't heard, there's also the question of a possible state shutdown again, depending on whether or not the budget gets passed. And of course, I think everybody remembers what happened last year. And if you didn't make much difference where you were living, I happened to be in Maryland for the weekend, and all we saw on the television was our then Governor Christie sitting out on the beach down at the shore, a beach that, of course, was closed to everyone else. I live near Rhone Valley Reservoir, and, of course, the reservoirs and all of the state parks were closed. So let's hope it would be averted. It will be averted, hopefully. If it hasn't, I didn't hear the news this morning, because Sunday is July 1st, and lots of people with this sweltering heat are certainly going to try to take advantage of the shore, the reservoirs, state parks, etc. So what's been happening, and let's talk a little bit about some of the news. And as I said, you're going to have to hear me all the time, because apparently we can't get anything up as far as spots. Yep, trying it again. It's not happening. Are you looking to get your message? Okay. Well, the One of the things that I wanted to comment on is the number of attorneys who are prioritizing the border crisis and prioritized immigration work as part of their pro bono advocacy. Now, what I mean by pro bono advocacy is attorneys who give time without charge to various clients, groups, etc. But the Lowenstein Sandler and Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison, they are some of the big firms who are, in fact, prioritizing immigration work as part of their pro bono advocacy. I have a pro bono project. In fact, if you know any undocumented immigrants in Hunterdon County, I can also elsewhere, but especially Hunterdon County, if they have children born in the United States, of course, their children are U.S. citizens, and I can help them protect their children in the event that the parent or parents are detained. And all anyone has to do is call my office. I'm Pat Smits, of course, and my number is 908-236-7530. And if they leave just a telephone number and just say that they have a question about immigration in English or in Spanish, I will get back to them and explain how they can at least do something to try to protect their children in the event that they're detained. And of course, this is a huge concern. It really is. I am going to be making a trip to the border, but cannot get clearance for a while. But that's different. Although I have to again explain, because people really don't understand what happens. Now, certainly there are many, many people from El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, but not so much Mexico right now, who are coming across the border, usually crossing the Rio Grande, and they're usually brought in by coyotes. They end up having to pay a lot of money. They bring them in, and, of course, they are entering the country illegally. And, of course, I think everybody, if you haven't heard about the zero tolerance and the horrible, horrible things that have happened to families that are being separated from their children as a result of that policy, we must have been under a bushel basket. But in any event, that policy has supposedly changed. It is going to be very difficult, however, to reunite the children who were separated from their parent or parents with the parent or parents. Because the children are scattered all over. The parents are in different places. Heard of a case this morning where the mother and child came across. Mother was in Colorado. The child had been taken to Miami, Florida. At least in that case, because the family who were in the United States had an attorney, so they were able to reunite the little boy and his mom after they were separated for a month. Now, this is a 7-year-old, so you can imagine the trauma to a 7-year-old who was separated from his mother for all that time after making a long and treacherous journey, which it really is. I mean, I have driven in a vehicle. Well, I've also taken buses, but I've actually driven in a vehicle from Guatemala to New Jersey. And it is a very long drive. And it's a very long drive to the border. And even in the day, it could be very difficult at the border. So anyone who has children born here, I can help them in the event that they're detained. And I can at least help them make sure that they're the ones who say who the children should be cared for. Because their children, of course, are U.S. citizens. And the other thing that I'm working with these people who have U.S.-born children is to make sure that their children have passports. That way, in the event that the parent or parents are detained or actually deported, the children will be able to travel back and either spend time with a parent or, of course, go back to the country to live with a parent. I did laugh about the self-portraits on the news that our noses look bigger, but so be it. I do want to say happy birthday to my granddaughter, Megan, who was born today, and then make sure that everyone who knew Karen, and I always mispronounce her last name, so excuse me, I call her Karen Politosh. Most of us always knew her either as Karen, so fun, so delightful, or we knew her as a big pink truck lady. She was so involved with the chapter, with the chamber, for many, many years. And Karen passed away after a very incredible fight against cancer for many, many years. So our hearts go out to all of us who will miss her, and especially to her husband and her daughter. And if you want more news about Karen, the services are going to be handled by DJ Wright. And so poor DJ, he's probably getting a zillion calls. But you can go on the internet. When I looked yesterday, it's still pending. What they're going to do is have a celebration of her life. So I hope everyone joins me, and wherever Karen is, she's going to be kind of the life of the party. So I would ordinarily say I'm going to go back and try to play some spots right now. So I guess I will try again and see if that's changed. If not, you're just going to have to hear me go on and on and on. So the next one, let's try that one.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark.
Not hearing it. Well, I guess not. So let's talk. And so what's happening other than what's happening at the border? Of course, we all know that President Trump is going to have another opportunity, or has an opportunity to play. Excuse me, I'm trying to fool around here. I'm talking about playing the spots and trying to think and not doing a good job at multitasking today. But as I said, Trump is going to have his second Supreme Court nomination. Neil Gorsuch went through very quickly. This is for people who are concerned about balance in the court, this is a significant appointment. Not that all appointments are not significant, but with the last Supreme Court justice, he was replacing Scalia, and we all know Scalia was the most conservative member of the court. So the fact that he was replaced with a conservative was not surprising and not that much of a concern, because we had Justice Kennedy, who was a swing vote. And although Justice Kennedy was a Republican, was a member of the court for 30 years, was a conservative, he did vote for individual rights, and that's where he would be the swing vote. So if you looked at a 5-4 vote, so usually it would be Kennedy who was either the vote with the more liberal justices or the vote with the more conservative justices. So big issues, because there is significant concern, legitimate concern, about women's rights, certain civil rights. You know, so much of this legislation, gay marriage, of course, came up with Kennedy voting for individual rights. So this is a real concern, because right now there's a 49-50, I believe it's a 49-50 in the Senate. And of course, Pence votes if there's a split vote. And of course, he would obviously vote for the most conservative justice, whether you like it or not. I mean, that's not any surprise. He was in favor of trying to change gays, etc. In Indiana, a very conservative state, he was even conservative for the people of Indiana. But in any of it, that's certainly going to be front and center. We've already seen some repercussions of the tariffs, and the irony is, for example, one company in Missouri, that was a company in a small town, 17,000 people, nail company, meaning they make nails, and because of the tariffs on steel, they were buying steel from Mexico, but making the nails in the United States. They were able to be competitive against China, even when China dumped nails here. But right now, they've had, I think they said something like 50% of their orders stopped. 500 people are employed by this company. Now, that in a town of 17,000 is huge, because not only do you have the 500 people employed, but you have other companies that this nail company would buy supplies from, and including, you know, boxes, packaging, and of course all these 500 employees, you know, spend money, support the town. And you know, I guess what's ironic is about 80% of that county voted for Trump. But what is really sad is the lack of understanding of what is going to happen to small businesses with this kind of tariff. In other words, these are the businesses that we all should realize that we need in this country. This was a competitive business. It was able to compete with China. It was able to compete with some really bad tactics of dumping nails. And of course, the Chinese will keep sending their nails in, and there's no tariff against them sending manufactured nails into this country. So the only one that's going to get hit is this little company out in Missouri. And but that's not the only one. They're, of course, looking for an exemption. But, you know, what we should be looking at is how to support small businesses, especially manufacturing businesses. It's not just the big car manufacturers. It's so many of these small businesses that really need support. And, of course, here's a company that survived everything, survived most manufacturing to move out of the country. They didn't. They stayed. They were able to weather every storm until now. So I guess you know where I am when it comes to supporting small businesses. And hopefully, you know, hopefully they'll get the exemption, but that's not the point. The point is not for a few small businesses to get the exemption. The point should have been that everybody needs to really look at and be concerned about the impact when you do one thing. What kind of an impact is it going to have on other things? And the tariff going to have a huge impact. Midwestern soybean farmers, huge impact. About, as I recall, China buys about 40% of the of their soybean imports from the United States, or had been, and the over 50% of the soybean production is exported to China. In other words, over half of the soybean production in this country gets exported to China. So if you're a farmer out there, what are you going to do if you can only sell half of what you sold last year to China? It's going to have a huge impact. And some of these, farmers can't turn around on a dime. I mean, they would have had their fields plowed, the fields planted, when all of this happened. They can't just quickly change and go into production of something else. So these are the things that it doesn't seem that anyone is really looking at long-term, or the impact of some of these seemingly, I'm trying to think of a nice word and I can't, some of these decisions. So now there is a question about a Superior Court judge who beat criminal charges, and the criminal charges were harboring her fugitive boyfriend. She will now face disciplinary action, and she was denied seeking special treatment based on her status as a judge from police officers who arrested her. But her belief at the time that she was pregnant, that's what she said, influenced her conduct during and leading up to that time, she said. I think the court's going to come down pretty hard on that. But that's an ongoing situation. And I think that most people, knowing that somebody was an attorney or a judge harboring a fugitive, that's going to be tough to overcome. So what else is happening? Well, there's an insurance case. There was a third-party defendants, meaning that they came in as third-party defendants against this. It was a Continental Insurance Company versus Honeywell International. It's a New Jersey Supreme Court decision. And the defendants, the third-party defendants, were excess insurers in the coverage dispute. And they appealed from an appellate decision order affirming the trial court, and the trial court granted partial summary judgment to the defendant. So the defendant's corporate predecessor manufactured products containing asbestos. Plaintiff, which provided primary insurance policies during the relevant years, commenced the present declaratory judgment action to seek relief from coverage for asbestos claims filed against defendant as a corporate successor. Now, the trial court considered whether the law in New Jersey or Michigan, and that was the, Michigan was the location of the defendant's predecessor when excess policies were issued. So the first question is, who would control the allocation of insurance liability among the insurers? Would it be New Jersey or would it be Michigan? The trial court also considered whether the defendant should contribute in the allocation for the time after which relevant coverage became unavailable in the marketplace. So the trial court entered a judgment applying New Jersey allocation law and ruling that the defendant had no allocation responsibility after 1987 because it could not obtain insurance coverage after that date for asbestos claims. The appellate division affirmed, And then on appeal to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court affirmed the ruling, and the Supreme Court held that where there was substantive difference between New Jersey and Michigan law, but ruled that New Jersey law prevailed because it was the long-standing domicile of the insured and because the state's relationship with the case was sufficiently significant to warrant application of New Jersey law. The court further ruled that the defendant need not contribute to allocation because none of the initial asbestos exposure occurred after insurance became unavailable. Now, there was a dissenting opinion, which Justice Albin argued the, quote, unavailability exception, end quote, gave companies a free pass to expose workers to dangerous products when insurance becomes unavailable. So Justice Albin contended that a manufacturer continuing to make dangerous products be deemed the ultimate insurer for its actions. Interesting, very interesting case. Does this give, a buy once there's no longer insurance? Interesting case for anybody, of course, who's involved in, and for years. This asbestos claims and problems have been going back in New Jersey for more than 40 years. I recall the very first firm that I worked with in Somerville because of the number of workers who had worked in Manville for years and had asbestosis. I remember more than one, at that time I thought older gentlemen, just could barely breathe. And certainly it went back to, problems went back to the submarines in World War II that were lined with asbestos. And I actually attended a grammar school where, although we went to school there for 8 years, the state finally decided it had to be torn down because of the asbestos levels. And I remember our first grade classroom was right above the furnace, which was, of course, all covered with, asbestos to protect, protect from whatever. But that's situation is coming up. There is a new case where New Jersey was allowed to intervene as a DACA defender in a Texas suit. A federal judge in Texas ruled that New Jersey should be allowed to intervene in a lawsuit filed by Texas seeking to end the U.S. government Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And in this time, the federal judge in Texas indicated that New Jersey should be entitled to intervene. I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the future. Most people who are hearing about what's happening with separating families are really outraged. And in this case, New Jersey Bar Associations wrote to the administration officials opposing the policies in place at the southern border that have led to families being separated. And they say the matter requires nuanced and careful solutions to provide due process and reunite families. And this is one of the quotes. We as Americans hold dear the concepts that government action must be subordinate to the safeguards of due process and a public, fair, and impartial hearing. The current approach to border safety serves no legitimate purpose, is clearly punitive in nature, and offends every one of the basic principles we hold dear. And this I mean, I can't imagine anyone would feel that anything fair about separating families. And of course, while I'm back on this, remember, the people who cross the border illegally are in fact undocumented migrants. It is not a crime, because a crime is a felony. It is a misdemeanor unless you're crossing and have crossed more than once. But the first time someone crosses, it's a misdemeanor. It's like what we do here in municipal court. In other words, if you have to go to a superior court, a criminal matter, superior court, that's a felony, not a misdemeanor. And the other thing that people really don't understand at all is that people coming to the border seeking asylum are not illegal. They're coming in and asking for a legal way to come into this country. So it was not only people coming across illegally, but it was also people coming here for amnesty and were legal, and they were also being separated from their children. So I guess I'm sounding like a broken record, but you know, if you talk to all of the people whose parents came here or whose grandparents came here, or you know, and if they came from an Iron Curtain country or if they came from Cuba, we welcome them with open arms. But the people coming from Central America are in fact escaping from the gangs. The women and men who are bringing their sons are trying to escape so their sons will not be put into the gangs, part of the gangs, forced into the gangs, so people won't be killed. It is unbelievably dangerous in these countries. And no one, I really believe that no one would make that trip, and especially would make that trip with children, unless they were fleeing for their life. It's just an incredibly dangerous, long trip to be coming from Guatemala or El Salvador or Honduras or southern Mexico. Extremely difficult and extremely expensive. I mean, the coyotes, I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing what they're charging now, because it's always been outrageous, thousands and thousands of dollars. So since I have to go on, and you're going to have to hear me, I can't even take a break to get a sip of water. I'm going to try one more time. Actually, I might be able to play the news, so I think I'll play a news break and see if that plays. That's coming from something else.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump is meeting with Democrats and Republicans to discuss his Supreme Court nominee. Earlier today, the president was on Fox Business and asked if he would ask his nominee their perspective on Roe versus Wade.
Well, that's a big one, and probably not. They're all saying, don't do that, you don't do that, you shouldn't do that. But I'm putting conservative people on, and I'm very proud of Neil Gorsuch. He has been outstanding. His opinions are, you know, is so well written, so brilliant. And I'm going to try and do something like that, but I don't think I'm going to be so specific.
Today, the man accused of walking into the Capital Gazette newsroom and killing five people in Annapolis, Maryland, was charged with five counts of murder. And in a developing story, ex-sports doctor Larry Nassar and a former trainer of his were charged with sex assault at a Huntsville, Texas gymnastics center. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Okay, we're back, and the program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, and I try to bring you up to date every week on what's happening, legal news, important cases that have been decided by our courts here in New Jersey. And right now, I'd like to tell you about some things that are going on in Flemington, really trying to do much more here in Flemington. You probably know, or most people know, that in Clinton, on Friday nights, there's music. Different people are playing along the streets, and they're also doing that now on Saturday afternoon. I think Friday nights start at about 7, and Saturday afternoons maybe 1 to 3. That's in Clinton. But what's happening in Flemington? Well, if you ever go down Main Street and go down past the Flemington filling station, Friday and Saturday nights through Labor Day, there's the beer garden at the filling station, and so it's a real great place for a gathering spot for live music, cold beer, and socializing. It's open on Friday and Saturday evenings from 5 to 10 p.m., and that will be going on through September 1st, and there also is menu items from the borough restaurants that you can enjoy while you're doing that. There we have the Flemington Flea Market. That is Flemington Flea, antique dealers, vintage items, collectibles, etc. It's held at the filling station rear lot, and I think it's at the filling station, Camp Flemington Antiques rear lot, and T. Berry's Tea Room on the outside lawn, and enjoy yourself on Stengel Road. This is the second Sundays from June through October, 9 to 3 p.m. So the next ones will be July 8th, August 12th, September 9th, and October 14th. If it's raining, rain dates will be the following Sunday. You can also go online to visit exploreflemington.com for more information. Anyone who likes cars, the Flemington car shows will run every other Saturday all summer. And they, some of the best classic cars, I've seen some really nice ones, come to Flemington. It's of course free. Live performances are given by local talented musicians, two areas on Main Street. They're also complemented by a DJ spinning classics. The several kids activities and the shows are held from 5 to 8:30 p.m. Just missed the ones in June, but there will be another one on July 7th, July 28th, August 4th, August 18th, and September 1st. Missed something that was going on at Stengel Sage, but there's going to be Salsa Night on July 21st, and that's a large festival on Main Street, 4 to 10 p.m., live salsa bands, food, vendors, dancing, entertainment, beer, wine, shopping. You know, the food is not just Latin America, but there is some good Latin American food, American, French, Italian. Apparently there's going to be some dance lessons, face painting, and this is also a fundraiser for Hunterdon Helpline and its Hunterdon Hispanos division. Hunterdon Helpline has been helping people for about 49 years. So another thing that I think is pretty new, at least I hadn't heard about it, is the Corn, Tomato, and Beer Festival on Saturday, August 4th. Apparently, we claim that we're in the corn and tomato capital of the USA, and this will be held on Stengel Road, and it will be noon to 8 p.m. on Saturday, August 4th, rain date August 5th. And again, you can visit exploreflemington.com for more information. Last thing I want to talk to you about is the Central Jersey Jazz Festival on Friday, September 14th. Opening night will once again take place at the historic County Courthouse on Main Street. And the future artists are a number of people that you may or may not know. Seating begins at 5 p.m. Performances from 6 to 10 p.m. And obviously that's rain or shine. And there will be food vendors and Main Street Beer Garden also. So I'm going to just take a very short break because I thought I might have heard somebody who could help me with the problems I'm having playing the spots. So I'll be back in just a moment. I guess what I'll do in the meantime is play another news break.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump is meeting with Democrats and Republicans to discuss his Supreme Court nominee. Earlier today, the president was on Fox Business and asked if he would ask his nominee their perspective on Roe versus Wade.
Well, that's a big one, and probably not. They're all saying, don't do that, you don't do that, you shouldn't do that. But I'm putting conservative people on, and I'm very proud of Neil Gorsuch. He has been outstanding. His opinions are, you know, is so well written, so brilliant. And I'm going to try and do something like that, but I don't think I'm going to be so specific.
Today, the man accused of walking into the Capital Gazette newsroom and killing five people in Annapolis, Maryland, was charged with five counts of murder. And in a developing story, ex-sports doctor Larry Nassar and a former trainer of his were charged with sex assault at a Huntsville, Texas gymnastics center. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Well, I guess I just hadn't, there was a button that was should have been activated that somebody turned off, and now I got it activated again. So let's play a couple spots so they and then we'll be back with a little bit more legal news.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Just so you know, they're now in Clinton. I guess they have to update that spot.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back for the last few minutes of It's the Law. Figured out how what was wrong and why I couldn't play the spots, so I just played them all. So what else is happening? Well, an open government group, in fact, a California-based organization advocating for open government, has filed a lawsuit against New Jersey demanding access to what it says are emails between former Governor Chris Christie and companies connected to Jared Kushner. Of course, we know that that is President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor. So we'll see what's happening with that, whether or not they're able to get under open government, because, of course, Governor Christie was, in fact, the governor of New Jersey during this period of time. So there's a consumer protection case that was rather interesting because anyone who's been in an accident may have run into this problem where all of a sudden a tow truck that you really don't want to be there comes to pick up your car. So in this case, this is the appellate division, and they considered three consolidated appeals concerning the Predatory Towing Prevention Act, the Consumer Fraud Act, and the Truth in Consumer Contract Warranty and Notice Act. Okay, so these are three acts that are enacted to protect the public. So in all three of the cases, none of the plaintiffs consented to towing of their vehicles. The vehicles were towed at the direction of the police, and that's the problem. It is the police who tend to call whoever is towing and sometimes really try to give you a problem because they've called, and you're not able to call the person that you want to call. In any event, in these cases, the plaintiffs were charged for the towing by privately owned towing companies that had contracts with local municipalities. Now, in two of the cases, the trial court dismissed for failure to exhaust administrative remedies, and alternatively, because the fees were authorized by municipal ordinance. Now, that's interesting. But in a separate set of two cases, the trial court further denied class certification. So on appeal, the appellate division considered whether the Towing Act required exhaustion of administrative remedies and whether towing companies acting under police direction were immune from claims under the Predatory Towing Prevention Act. And so whether the Towing Act limited fees charged for non-consensual towing, and whether one of the other truth in consumer contract warranty applied to non-consensual towing, and whether the Towing Act and the other two acts could be pursued as a class action. So the appellate division first ruled that the Towing Act did not require exhaustion of administrative remedies. So in other words, the litigants could go right to court. They didn't have to go through the administrative process. And the court said that because the act did not mandate such remedies. There are certain legislation where someone has to seek their remedies not in court but in an administrative hearing. But in this case, the appellate division further ruled that there was no derivative immunity under TCA for Towing Act violations committed by privately owned towing companies. So in other words, they couldn't use that legislation to say, oh, we're immune. And the appellate division said no. The appellate division also held that the Towing Act, the maximum fees could be charged for any towing service. In other words, that the Towing Act apparently, I haven't read it, but apparently talks about the maximum fees that can be charged for any towing service. And the appellate division further ruled that towing bills containing illegal charges were the type of deceptive consumer transaction prohibited by the Truth in Consumer Contract Warranty and Notice Act. Finally, the appellate division ruled that the Towing Act and the other acts, the claims under these acts, could be appropriate for class certification, provided that they met certification requirements. Now, of course, they ruled this because class actions promote the efficient resolution of numerous claims of people who feel that they need a remedy under this particular act, if the act has been violated. So that was the and I'm sure somebody's going to try to take that up to the Supreme Court. And usually the Supreme Court doesn't get involved in cases like this, but it was Stave versus Pinkston. And this is a decision written by Chief Justice Rabner. And in that case, the defendant appealed from a appellate division decision affirming a trial court decision. And the trial court denied the defendant's request for additional discovery and to subpoena police officers to testify at his pretrial detention hearing. The defendant was arrested after police spotted him driving a vehicle matching the description of a vehicle involved in a shooting. Defendant led police on a brief chase that ended when he struck another vehicle. He was charged with second-degree eluding and second-degree aggravated assault while eluding. And after the state moved to detain him, he asked for an adjournment to obtain discovery and subpoena police officers to testify. The trial court denied his request, and after reviewing the complaint, the affidavit of probable cause, and other documents, and the attorney's arguments, the trial court concluded that a clear and